I'm ready to fuck. Oh, we're doing it. Here we go.
We're doing it. We're going. Here we go.
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do?
Yeah.
You think you can tell us what to wear?
Ooh, I just burped.
You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready.
You better.
Bow to the masters. Break it down.
That's a break, boy. Yeah, welcome up to the Cow Podcast. Break it down. Welcome to
Let's get ready to suck it.
That's Billy Gunn's part, who is not involved. Why would you bring that up?
I mean, they did it, so.
No, they did do it. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, a podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. We got so much to talk about, too much to talk about. Many are talking that we have too much to talk about. I'm on my snake oil right now. I'm up, baby. Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. Wow, 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 wowie, wowie. Let's fucking get into it. Tulo's here, at Tiptoe with Tulo. On Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Dan Black Attack on Instagram, and I don't really tweet. Twitter is not really my bag, but follow me there. I don't know. Anyway.
And still on Facebook.
Tulo, wait. I don't really fuck around on Facebook either, but Tulo, way too much going on here. There's too much to talk about to the point where we're talking about doing a bonus episode tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, I mean, well, we're a day early here. This is Wednesday.
We're coming out with the main app a day early here, and we're going to do a bonus app tomorrow. You know?
Yeah, this makes sense. We're going to cover Extreme Rules and Raw tonight, and then we'll do House of the American Dragon because we'll have House of Dragon to catch up on, and the American Dragon is main eventing Dynamite tonight for the ROH champion on All Honor Wrestling. So it's perfect. It worked out great.
A lot going on here. Many are saying a lot going on. But, yo, let's jump right into the fucking main thing. I mean, I know there's a lot to talk about, but let's jump into it because I want to talk about Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, my mustache. Oh, Bray Wyatt.
I want to talk about Bray Wyatt returning and
I thought you were talking about my mustache.
And demanding that you have a mustache.
Very Dax Harwood of me. Look at it, man.
Yeah, it's a beautiful stash. What's the impetus for the stash?
Nothing. I just buzzed down my beard and I was like, let's keep the stash. And I kind of like it.
There was nothing to it.
Now, nah, ACL's coming up, so I wanted to be a weirdo. And I feel like a stash is a good way to die.
The American Civil Liberties Union?
Yeah. All right. So Bray Wyatt.
The return, the non-secret at all, but the long-awaited, the second coming, the third coming. One of the greatest WWE superstars of this generation, or any generation, as far as I'm concerned, Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, son of Mike, IRS agent, is now returned at Extreme Rules. And came back in a big way. I mean, I don't think anybody thought that was I don't think anybody was disappointed with that comeback, correct?
No, not at all.
It was very fun. And we don't have any questions answered, but he did exactly what I said he should do, right? Which was come back and leave you with a question mark. He didn't come back and go answer any questions for you. He came in and just everything he's doing is still part of the mystery of it all, like the whole White Rabbit thing. We don't know exactly where he's going with it yet. But he showed up at the end of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Triple H pulled the classic trademark gimmick. Watermark. Sorry, trademark. Watermark gimmick where you play that the pay-per-view's over. Which, by the way, it's been done many times before. But I'll say this. Truly, truly works every time. Like, I was watching with a bunch of dudes. We watched the pay-per-view live. It was my first pay-per-view watching live in a while with a crew. It was a great time.
Better than a bunch of dudes, you know, watching wrestling.
We love a bunch of dudes, folks. This was a bunch of Judes. This was all Jewish dudes. Jew dudes. which is hilarious. It's very funny to me because I was thinking about this the other day. It's like I have my crew of Jewish friends in L.A. You know, like grew up, I had a bunch of Jewish friends because I grew up on Long Island, New York, and I'm a Jewish man myself. And but my Jew crew in L.A. is they're all wrestling marks. Like that's how, and that's the basis for our friendship, including Skylar Astin, you know. Which is so interesting. It's nothing to do really with our religion, you know. Like we didn't come together in that way. We came together. Well, many would argue it does have something to do with our religion because our religion is probably wrestling over Judaism. Well, you know, equal, same thing. But so I watched with a bunch of Jews, and we had a great fucking time. And and Kanye went and ruined it for all of us. You know. Fuck, oh, fuck. This is truly not the place at all for this. But this Kanye thing has been so interesting as a Jewish man. I guess this is a deep topic, but let's – whatever. This is my platform, right? Mm-hmm. You know? Because it's – people's response to it is so interesting. Like, I don't think – no one – I don't really know a lot of people. I mean – I don't know what happens behind closed doors, but I don't know a lot of people, and I'm Jewish just for the record. I said it already, but be clear. I don't know a lot of people who are like blatantly anti-Semitic where they're like Nazis or whatever, right? They're like, I want Jews out. You know what I mean? But the weird thing is like when Kanye said that those comments, I knew in my brain that a lot of people would be just kind of silent about it or write it off to the fact that he's like mentally ill, you know? And, like, I was looking at some stats today, which is that, like, the amount of hate crimes that happen towards Jews compared to the amount of Jews on the planet is so fucking insane. It was so fucking crazy, you know? And, why – I have a lot of friends who struggle with, like, mental illness, and it does not cause them to say – to threaten the lives of Jewish people and say like the most anti-Semitic shit that we can, you know? So right. It's always like interesting to me when people are just like, ah, man, Kanye's just like sick, you know? Like we cannot take all the shit. Yeah. It's all slippery slope, you know? We cannot from someone that powerful, you know, like Kanye, who claims to be, like, not powerful at all. Like, that's his big thing. You know, just being like, everyone's trying to keep me down while at the same time having, like, the most $500 shoes that, like, fly off the shelves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And having, like, a huge platform of, like, he's tweeting that out to, like, probably hundreds of millions of people saw it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stuff's not to be taken lightly. And that's it. That's it. So when anyone, you want to talk about like what it feels like, if you're interested about the perspective of a Jewish person, it's very interesting when Kanye West puts something like that out there, you know, and then someone goes like, just ignore this guy, you know, you're like, oh, okay. But we were up in arms about a lot of other shit that he said. You know what I mean? Now, I will say. That was the initial response that I saw. Everyone has different experience, whatever, with these fucking phones, whatever algorithm it gets us. But then I saw, like, 2 days after that, people started realizing, like, yo, we're diminishing this too much. And then the reason I'm mainly bringing this up was that, like, man, oh, man, I was so proud of so many people I know who, like, openly stood up for the Jewish people there, you know? Against someone like Kanye, crazy. I'm such a Kanye fan. I've given him so much money in my life. If you want to even break it down on dollars, I've been to like several of his concerts, very expensive seats, folks. You know, and this guy all he does is beat the shit out of me. Last concert I went to, he like left the stage. You know? He made me watch, last that concert I went to, he made me watch a tribute to Kim Kardashian, okay? And then he left the stage. And then almost ran me over in his, like, Maybach, that when he was leaving, he was leaving the arena, like, we were all leaving, and then he almost, like, ran a group of us over that I was in, you know? Probably his driver, you know?
Probably knew you were Jewish and tried to run you over.
And that's it. I'm just saying, anti-Semitism, you know, it's fucking real, man. Anyway,
we live in an era where it's very hard to even ignore the simplest person who has 7 followers and it attacks you or says something about you or says something that when someone with that much impact says something, it starts to get very, you know, dangerous and where we're going. Like we went through it the whole time with like Trump and then, you know, and other people. And now it's just like, man, we're all so in it, so deep in it now with social media that like, there's no coming out of it. Like
it took a bunch of, I know what you're saying. I saw a bunch of people saying like, with this kind of thing, like, oh, you know, your silence is deafening on it. And then I saw people kind of respond. And I'm not going to knock somebody who responded too late if you said anything, isn't that? Because, like, I don't even get, like, fully involved in this stuff because I'm cynical about, like, what it matters to like, post a lot of these things, you know? But, like, man, this I got to tell you, this view that everyone thinks that Jews are all, like, fucking powerful and high and mighty and wealthy. Well, if you need an example of someone who's not that, look at me. All right. You know what I mean? If I'm here to break the stereotype, folks, because you know what I'm saying? It's so fucking upsetting because it's like, you know, man, I can go into so many things about it.
It stops right there.
Well, it sounds like I'm not articulate or something, but actually I'm just avoiding paths to go down because there's things I'll say. What I don't want to do it is at all diminish the struggles of any other people. You know what I mean? That's not my goal at all. And like 100%. Sometimes it's easy for your brain to go down a path of like, hey, it's worse for us. It's worse for this one, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, you know? Well, I'm just saying is that all I'm saying on my public platform here is like, yo, you cannot be someone who's like a social justice warrior and not call out Kanye. If your whole, right? Like if your whole social media presence is like calling out injustice and that's the one thing you ignore, you know what I mean? That's exactly what our grandparents told us about when we were kids. They, like was just like, hey, you know, this Holocaust happened in first world countries, you know, in the middle of Europe, you know, and this is like the stuff they're scared of where it's like where you're like, hey, no one's going to care about this, you know. So people who do care, I really, 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 really appreciate it.
Well,
from my end, I don't know.
In a positive note, there is –
how did I get into this?
Alex Jones got sued for like $1 billion for the Sandy Hook stuff. So there you go. Lesson learned, okay?
Yeah, sorry, I was talking over you. Man, Alex Jones, Alex Jones is the one thing, man, like I've said it before, I don't understand how like there's like a lot of people I know and even respect out there who like would do things with him and stuff, you know? And that Sandy Hook shit that he did is like some things you do, you know, are just too far. And like I'm a big believer in like redemption. And I think, you know, we cancel culture. It's like, fine, I'll have an argument that kind of got out of control, whatever. I can hear that argument about this and that. But, like, people need to be able to, like, make mistakes, you know, and be better and learn and this and that. We're all flawed, you know. But then it's just like you cannot profit off of something that you know is – a complete fallacy, and that is also so fucking offensive to human beings and their rights and their truth. Yeah. Like he started that holy crisis actor stuff. You remember? He was like, like the whole Sandy Hook was like a staged event, and then it's just like you can't get famous from that and then be fine. Like that was the same thing as that. Like what was that? That Milo guy. So the only thing that's good is like these people, they get like, because we talk, what's interesting about it is that like how it ties to wrestling is like, we like to think all wrestling, it's all heat, anything good, bad press, good press is good, this and that. There's got to be a version of bad press that's just bad, you know?
Yeah.
And bro, I mean, Alex Jones, I mean, he's clearly not going to be able to pay any of this back. He's just going to go immediately bankrupt, right?
Yeah. I mean, if he is able to pay it back, then that's the real issue.
Anyway, we're talking about shit that we're – I don't know. He got deplatformed. I don't know what kind of money he has. But that guy
starts
was such,
right there.
Such trash. You know what I mean? Anyway. Woo! This shit's dangerous. Anyway, why did I bring up Kanye? Because I was thinking I was talking about Kanye.
I don't know what.
Did
what
it have
rabbit?
To do with Bray White?
Maybe Bray?
Yeah,
you started with Bray.
I went Bray.
Oh, Jew. The Jew people watching wrestling.
Jews. I said it till Kanye ruined wrestling. The Bray. Kanye ruined the Bray reveal.
So what were you watching?
So what I'm saying
you watching
is
Extreme Rules?
We were watching Extreme Rules.
Love it.
And so.
What was the spread like?
No, it was a last minute kind of get together thing. It wasn't a big smorgasbord, it wasn't a big smorgasbord. So the watermark I was saying at the end, right. Like that works every time because I was watching with the Judes and it was like, they're like, oh, well the watermark's up, you know? And like, everybody knew Bray was coming back. Literally, the beginning had like Extreme Rules, like X marks the spot. Here's where I'm showing up. Remember?
Yeah.
So you knew he was showing up. But even just the watermark's like, well, the watermark's up. That's how effective it is. Like, it was such a great moment that someone has to say it, even though we know for 100% fact that he's coming back. You know? Like, we didn't get worked at all, but like, we kind of got like. Worked in the way that we want to be worked, you know? But that being said, well, maybe we did get worked because I'm like, I saw the watermark and I go, maybe they are ending the show, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, me too. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, but they've done it so many times.
I know.
Anyway, yeah. Bray Wyatt comes back. They show all the costumes, like, you know, that like the evolution of all those characters. Mm-hmm. They showed like the six, right?
Yeah, they're calling it the Bray Wyatt Six.
It's called the Wyatt
Husky,
Six.
Rabbit.
Let's skip all that shit. That stuff was cool. Okay. That was all flavor. The door, the production value was awesome. The door, they had like an actual forbidden door. They did the, you know. Bray shows up. And all we need to talk about is this mask, right?
Yeah.
So, this mask, this mask, I saw it immediately go, love. I love this mask. Love it. What a great evolution. So it's kind of, if you haven't seen it, it's almost exactly, it's very much the Black Phone mask. It's very similar to the Black Phone mask. If you haven't seen the movie Black Phone, worth checking out. I think it's on Peacock. And you have Peacock if you're watching pay-per-views.
That's the first thing that comes up.
And Tom Savini created Bray Wyatt's Fiend mask. He also created the Black Phone mask. So I'm just going
really?
To assume Tom Savini also played Sex Machine in the movie Dust Till Dawn. If people don't know that, he's like one of the greatest horror designers of all time. He created the Fiend title and he made the Black Phone mask. So I'm only going to assume because Bray already worked with Bray Wyatt, Savini worked with Bray Wyatt before, and it looks like kind of like the Black Phone mask, that Tom Savini made this mask as well, right? This mask has – it's like the Black Phone mask, but it has like a Guy Fawkes vibe to it. Now, the Guy Fawkes mask is the V for Vendetta mask.
Yep.
If you want to Google that, it's F-A-W-K-E-S. Okay? Or is it X? I think it's a K. let's see. Yeah, no. It's a K. All right, can we delete that out? No.
No, it's on.
We can't?
Nope, it's on.
It's too late.
Too late.
Yeah, so you know the Guy Fawkes mask, right?
Yep.
It's like the smile mask with the mustache. Yeah. V for Vendetta.
Yep.
And so Guy Fawkes' whole thing, so if that's what he's going for, which I don't know, right? Now, what he said on Raw, he said you got to, like, revel in who you are, something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact thing.
I think I have it up still. But he said something like, we got to revel in who you are, something like that. But Guy Fawkes, his thing was kind of like calling out, like, government's bullshit, right? He was kind of like a truth, an exposer of truth, okay? So I wonder if he's going to go that kind of angle with this character, you know?
Interesting.
I don't know where he's going so far. It's been very vague, right? I mean, you wouldn't say anything. You wouldn't say everything says.
Yeah. You would think. I mean, there's reports that Bo Dallas is coming back, so that would be kind of crazy if he gets involved, like with him. Like anything's possible. That's what's beautiful about this new era of WWE is that like it's almost impossible to imagine what they have planned.
Yeah, he's saying revel in what you are. Revel in what you are. Well, you're saying
it's just so interesting that he can just come back like this, and then now you have a guy like we were talking about last week with Rob Fee there, and there's this whole entire creative direction that's going to be coming up. And it couldn't have happened at a better time. You know, like I think this is the perfect time for Bray to come back. And it's making Friday SmackDown like must watch. You know, I think some people are a little disappointed with that Raw didn't have him appear, but I think that's fine because he's going to be on SmackDown. So
yeah, so he's going to be exclusively on SmackDown is what I'm reading. So I think they felt like let's do something on Raw to get people wet for SmackDown. Yeah. But I think expect Bray Wyatt on SmackDown. I'm sure Fox was like, we want him, right?
Yeah, I mean it's a no brainer in my opinion. He's way better off over there on Fox.
So but let's.
It's nice. It's fluid right now between brands. So he can definitely show up on Raw whenever he has to or wants to.
I want to talk about Bray's return for a second. So he also had the lantern, sure. By the way, with the blue light.
Yes.
Now. Did you notice mm-hmm. that? So the light was mm-hmm. blue. And what I want to talk about is so fucking small, but mm-hmm. makes such a fucking difference in the world of pro wrestling. And it's when Bray took off his mask. It speaks to his fucking acting chops, which all I do is applaud. But he was – the look on his face, he was so serious. Like, it was so threatening and serious. And, like, you didn't see any of that fucking bullshit that I hate. Like, when you see a wrestler, like, emotion of, like, I'm happy to be back. It is – like, I just – it was so great to see somebody try to act. Yeah. You know, somebody who he comes out and he's like, I'm going to do this character. He's on such another level with a 1 second reveal of his face. Mm-hmm. There was no half smirk. There were, right? He was he was here for business. He was so fucking and not overly serious either. I know that like now I'm just going like so minute, but like you know when they go like tough guy, no tough guy, just like the what he was
dead.
The character Bray Wyatt.
Uh-huh.
And it was so fucking amazing. Bray Wyatt taking his mask off makes Adam Cole should be up in the 300 section watching this show as a fan. You know, like, he makes these guys, you know, we say in wrestling, we say in improv, like, I always pick on Adam Cole, but I know he's, like, pretty injured, right? So I hope he gets well.
He should be coming back soon.
But Bray Wyatt, just from standing there with a lantern for a second,
mm-hmm.
like, he makes all these television performers look like dinky little wrestlers. You know, like, and I don't know. I'm sorry. There's a couple of guys that are just kind of on another level. And I'll give Brock Lesnar a similar rub. Because even Brock just coming out just to beat up Bobby Lashley, yeah. He makes the show 50 million times better instantly.
It's right? So true. He bopped him on the mouth with the microphone.
These guys make,
it was so funny.
Like, Cowboy Hangman Adam Page look like a guy who's playing wrestler. And these guys are like, these guys are on the silver screen, and this guy's on. These guys are like porn stars, you know. Like, am I wrong though?
No, I mean,
I'm speaking a little bit hyperbolic, you know. But there are. There's some. It's like why Vince wanted to call wrestlers superstars and not wrestlers, and then only about. Let's say to be generous. 5% of the roster actually earned the right to be like a superstar. Bray is a superstar. Like Brock is like a superstar. You know, like Bobby Lashley, not a superstar, even though that's why I bring him up because I really like Bobby Lashley's work the past 2 years, but he's not earning superstar. He's coming off like a wrestler, you know, like a really good wrestler, you know? And then there's these guys that take this to this sport to like the next level. And that's kind of what I get really frustrated with like Kenny Omega. Because Kenny Omega is so close to being that, but then never crosses the line fully. You know?
That's a great point.
And then like, oh man, this will be a really hot take. Like Roman Reigns, I think, is standing on the line. Even though he's doing great work and he is the number one wrestler, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the number one wrestler. You know? Like, he feels like a wrestler, but I think he stands on the line. Like, John Cena crosses that line by miles, you know? And Triple H in his prime crossed that line by miles, you know? With his overall presentation. My problem with Seth Rollins lately is I think he's doing very good work, but he's also a guy who's standing. I almost feel similar to him in like, it's almost like where Kenny is. It's almost similar to me. I could see you disagreeing with that there. You've been liking it.
Yeah, I would say that I believe that Seth is putting in the effort to at least do something with his time.
Right.
You know, like he's not just showing up and saying he's the best wrestler in the world and being a massive dork. You know, like it's.
I'll give you an example of a guy on the indies, by the way. I'll give you Tilo. On the indies, who I think does like superstar work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Cardona does so much work through his Instagram. You know what I mean? And like. Mm-hmm. And some of it comes off a little shoddy, like, because it's indie. It's all, like, lower budget and this and that, you know? But he does work where I'm like, it's a bummer we really never saw this version of him in WWE. And I was thinking about the other day, too. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place right here.
No, go for it, man. I mean,
but, like, I'm like,
WWE
should re-sign Cardona and let him do his thing in WWE. Day one should come in. Win that United States Championship off of Seth. Someone to put it like that. And then he should do a run with that title. And have the crowd fucking hate him. You know? with Chelsea, obviously. Right?
That has been the latest rumor.
Is that a rumor he's coming back? I did not see that.
It's like been going around today.
Are you kidding me? I just said that out of nowhere.
I know. That's why when you were saying it pretty awesome because I was thinking the same thing. He's the perfect guy to bring back,
bro. He's it's like if they don't re-sign Cardona, they're crazy, because he's exactly what WWE is all about. You get released, and you fucking, you choose one of two paths, you know? Here's another hot take. I'm jumping all over the place right now. Here's another thing.
Dominic Mysterio is the best
wrestler. Jinder Mahal, they should give him another shot to get the fucking modern-day Maharaja thing going again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Am I wrong or no?
Yo, modern-day Maharaja was fucking fire.
It was fucking fire, bro.
Remember
Yo,
the Punjabi celebration? Like, yeah. After he won the title, that thing was lit. His fucking entrance was an absolute banger. Remember he stole the title originally? That's how he got in on it?
Bro, I'm a text Rob for you. I'm like, yo, bro. Yo, listen, bro. I'll give you everything in my bank account if you can get Jinder back to the top, bro. I want you to write long-term story. You're the head of long-term creative? You know what I mean?
Hey, listen.
Jinder Mahal is jacked up. I tell you what, if I go in there, one other thing I might do is I'll be like, yo, I'm going to make Jinder Mahal the biggest heel in this whole fucking company. You know?
Yeah.
He's going to come out, do like, sit in the ring, do crazy celebrations, you know, like, he doesn't totally have the, he's got the look, him. Yeah, Tula, I'm so all over the place tonight.
Yeah, it's great, man.
You choose what to focus on. I think, but what I'm saying, and I'll sum this whole thing up, is that's like Bray coming back made WWE product a show again. And that's exciting to me.
Bro, just think. Look at my shirt.
Oh, my God. Look at this guy. I forgot about the American Nightmare.
Okay, the American Nightmare. Let me tell you something, okay? I have a theory going on right now. It's not an Austin theory.
You have an Austin theory.
NXT just did like 757,000 viewers. If I was Triple H, I'd throw that shit on Wednesday nights. And go back to war with fucking Tony Khan and just absolutely, because Tony's in a bad spot right now. Okay, listen, you could say I'm being crazy.
They just signed WWE superstar Renee Paquette.
Fantastic, and congratulations to Renee. She deserves it. She should be in WWE, but that's fine. Go over to AEW. I totally get it. Moxley's there. That's great. He just signed a 5-year contract. He's going to be a coach as well. Awesome. Tony's in a bad spot right now. And I didn't watch Dynamite yet, but I don't think I see anything about Kenny returning. So I don't know what's going on there. And I think the littlest nudge or possible like shove by Triple H might have him absolutely go bonkers. Because if they wanted to, they don't have to. But if they wanted to, they could put NXT back on Wednesday. And I think that would be fucking insane. Insane.
I don't think it's a bad idea. Cool, that would be awesome. I don't think it's a bad idea. I just don't even think WWE needs to even bother with AEW at this point.
They don't.
They really like
they don't.
They are firing on all cylinders. You know, they're doing great. Wow. You know, interesting thing, by the way. Taking a step back for all over the place. Liv Morgan loses the title to Ronda Rousey. Everybody in the room I was with was like, oh yeah, Liv will probably lose this match, you know? And I was like,
yeah,
I didn't think so. But they all thought that, and they were right, you know? Not that they wanted that. They were just like, I think that that's what they're going to do.
Overall, Extreme Rules was a lot of fun, but I think the biggest problem was that Donnybrook match was so fucking fire to start the show that nothing could really compete with it after. It got a little wonky in some spots. I thought Liv and Ronda didn't have good chemistry. I thought Seth and Riddle were a little off too. I thought the strap match was a big swing and a miss. I mean, okay, let me ask you a question. How come no one ever ties
somebody? Who was the
strap match
again? I was forgetting. Oh, it was Karrion Kross. I kind of dug that match.
I wasn't really into it as much, but
I liked it. I mean, I'm not going to defend it. You know?
I thought the ladder match was real solid. I thought, and then, I thought the I Quit match was awesome.
I Quit match was great. Arguably match of the night.
We
got to talk. Let's just jump right to Seth Riddle for a sec.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Seth, let's just jump to this Riddle thing. So was Riddle attempting a flying bro and then switched? I don't know what the hell happened there. What
do you mean?
The floating bro. Sorry.
Senton.
The senton. But if you watch this senton, it's so weird because he like he kind of loses his footing a little bit. I think they ended that match early. If you watch it, it's like he was. It's very very awkward. Riddle was gonna like you know when you like jump you kind of half jump off something. You're like, I'm gonna jump off this, but you're gonna jump in the way where you're not. You're making it the least amount of fall for you as possible, right?
Yeah.
So it's like instead of jumping up or trying to get momentum, you know, well, he did that.
That all points in why that Monday, why what happened on Monday happened, because maybe Seth actually needed like another week to recover, but he had to have that match, so they found a way to have him beat Bobby, you know?
Yeah.
And give him another week's rest. I mean, he didn't really. By the way, much in that match.
God, I'm now all over the place. Brock was they leaked that Brock was going to be on Raw. Did you see that?
I had no idea. I was completely surprised.
Oh, they definitely leaked it because everyone was like, Brock's expected to be on Raw. But this was a great leak because it was a grand meta leak. Oh my God! Another fun fact, by the way, is that the other night I was playing Magic the Gathering with a couple of my dudes, and I'll put on wrestling in the back. It's the main thing. So actually, I watched Clash at the Castle finally, you know, because I saw a lot of it in clips, but I didn't see the whole show. So I watched it because that was when I was in Mexico, remember? Right. And what was my point about Watch Clash of the Castle? Oh, Clash of Castle ends. It was just playing and ends. And then all of a sudden, it starts just playing the Cruiserweight Classic. Like, I don't know why. Peacock is wired so fucking weird with WWE. It's so messed up. So after Clash of the Castle ends, they could have went to Extreme Rules. Like, that's what you think whoever's programming would go one pay-per-view to the next. It plays, like, the 2016 or whatever Cruiserweight Classic. Like, it opened up with, like, what was that guy named? Like Ho-Ho? Remember, like, it was like, anyway, I forgot what the fuck the guys did. Yeah, it was like, Ho-Ho.
And the best part is it's arranged in seasons and episodes, so you think it would go to, like, okay, the next season or the next episode. No, Cruiserweight Classic. Like,
no, whoever's programming Peacock had to jump to the Cruiserweight Classic.
Do you remember when Dipperstein was like, how much would you pay for to have WWE Network? And he was like, $300 a month. And now, not that crazy of a fucking thing, because that thing,
I'll say this. As much as I like to save money, you know, I was going to call myself cheap, but all you anti-Semites can't handle that, okay? But that's a joke. Mm. I'm allowed to say that because I'm Jewish. I would pay, even though I would probably have Peacock and I would have WWE Network, back to $9.99 to have WWE Network back, I would embrace that so much. Oh, I don't think that's an unpopular opinion, but the WWE Network was so much better.
Amazing.
It was so much better. WWE Network, like, because whatever the fuck, however your brain works, I don't know, but, like, you click on that app. You're like, yo, I just feel like watching wrestling content. You would click in it, and you're like, let's hear Stone Cold Sessions. It was all laid out. Like, it was like you were fully engulfed in, like, WWE, and it was fun like that, you know?
And the funny part is that it had potential to get even better, too. Like,
right.
More live stuff, like, you know, things like that. And they're just like, let's go grab this cash from NBC real quick.
Oh, man.
Secure the bag. Yeet. You know? Can we talk about Sami Zayn?
Let me talk about – I'm going to kick off the Sami Zayn combo, and then you'll go. Okay. And I'm just going to give you one little fact. Got a text from Skylar Aston. And by the way, so help me Todd. When this is out, this will be out. That means tonight on CBS, baby. Set your DVRs. So help me, Todd. Featuring Skylar Astin and, I don't know, Marsha Gay Harden? I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, I watched Skylar Astin. Oh, my God. EO Skylar Astin.
Yeah.
Anyway, I won't tell you what happens. I won't do a grand metalik about the plot, but that's my new favorite one. And that was me. I said that because I watched Grand Metalik in the Cruiserweight Classic. Do you remember that Daniel Bryan did some of the commentary for that?
I forgot. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wow. Whew. What about Skyler?
Skyler texted me today. Skyler asked him. He's texting me. He goes, Honorary Oos is one of my guys. Also, I'll say this. He also texted me to say how much he said Finn's new entrance is one of my guys. That's
what, yeah, also.
The two also one of my guys.
Yeah. With the spiky mask?
The spiky mask is one of my guys. The spiky mask was like, fucking cool. I mean, Newman pointed out that Finn's gimmick is dropping on Amazon, and I thought that was very funny. Undeniably funny thing to say.
I mean, I am just so proud of my guy,
Sami Zayn,
Dominic Mysterio.
Dominic Mysterio.
I mean, can we talk about how awesome he's been? I mean, he's just the guy gets.
Should we talk
epic.
About when Logan Paul came into the diner?
Yeah. Oh,
what is it? Let's go Mysterios.
Look at us. We're over here on a podcast and he's going to fight Roman Reigns in fucking Saudi Arabia.
Gonna go get his fucking ass beat.
Yeah, I hope he beats the
shit. Oh, what were your points about Sami Zayn?
I just fucking love him, man. I mean, just talk about an actor. I mean, Sami Zayn is just absolutely incredible. Anytime he touches the mic, he doesn't even have to touch the mic. The crowd is going absolutely crazy for him. He's breaking Roman left and right. It's hilarious. And I'm just so excited to see where this goes. I hope it's not the tragic ending. And I really hope it's the, like, hero, you know, like in some kind of way, because he deserves it, man. And it's,
we need a hero.
It's just so. He deserves this kind of shine and what he's getting. Like, it's nailing this honorary Oos thing. There's not many other wrestlers who could have did this. I mean, maybe Kevin Owens is the only one. Think about it. Like, he's just incredible. I mean, just on top to bottom. I mean, the stuff with Jay and then having a handshake with Jimmy and Solo. Solo gets to go out with Roman, Jay and Jimmy. I mean, it's just like, what a perfect storyline to have around your champion, you know, like it's wild. Did you see The Rock said that he's the head of the table?
So yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Rock's been in.
What did you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, he's been everywhere.
He's clearly not ready to announce it. He said it's like a scheduling thing, but I felt like in that interview, he completely revealed that is 100% happening at Mania. That's not, even from that small thing, I got the vibe like that is the plan. Because the thing is this, he was like, we'll see, blah, 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 you know, this and that. But what?
Other important news is that he's not going to be running for president. So that just frees up his schedule even more where, I mean, a WrestleMania return seems. I mean, because right around then.
He's not running for president.
He'd be building his campaign, you know, starting to push, you know, for. So, I mean, he's got it. If there was ever a year to do it, this is the one. I mean,
to run for president? I mean.
No, to wrestle it.
I guess they're going to start. People are going to. Oh, WrestleMania. He's got to do it because he's going to be too old. Black Adam, going to be good or bad?
You know,
I don't mean critically. Obviously, it's going to get critically panned. It's like
no, personally.
But will you watch it and be like, "Yo, that was sick"? You know.
The more I see it, the more visually, like, it looks like it's just fucking sick, right? Yeah. It looks like a spruced up version of like 300 almost. You know, that style. I don't know who the directors are and stuff, but it'll probably suck. But
300 is written by Frank Miller, directed by Zack Snyder.
Who directed this one? Who directed Black Adam?
Zack Snyder directed the Justice League and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Who directed Black Adam?
It's definitely not Zack Snyder because they would have said. Black Adam. Let's look it up. I told you my beef with this character. Just the description is just beyond lame. It's just like I was a slave, and then now I'm a god.
It just looks sick.
But I don't know this character at all. It might be cool in the comic books.
But like, I have a feeling it's going to be one of those things where like he is the bad guy technically, right? In this, so I mean,
I think his thing is that like he don't give a shit about nothing. Directed by, I don't know who this director is. Let's see what this director is. It's French. Directed House of Wax. This guy, Orphan. Jungle Cruise. He directed Jungle Cruise in 2021. Okay. So they must have dug him. Yeah. He's coming off Jungle. He's coming hot off Jungle Cruise. Yeah. I don't know. DC stuff does. It's interesting. I just, you know, I'm into Batman. Any news about the new Batman? Dude, we're still all over the place. But any news about the new Batman 2? Yeah, no, probably not.
I don't think
so. They
probably
didn't even start filming yet. Because I want to see the thing where
Batman,
I think the
Batman's definitely not in the way. So,
no. All right. So I was just looking something up and I don't know what it is. Oh, I was taping. I was taping so much wrestling. Oh, I got to help. So help me, Todd. I got to put that on my DVR here while I'm doing it. Anyway, so boom. Skylar Astone added to my library. Buddy, even though I already have Paramount app, you can watch it on Paramount Plus. Okay, yo. I can't find. I was looking at my movie, Curse Friends. Thanks to all the people watching on Comedy Central.
I started watching it last night. It's very funny.
The script is very funny. I read the script. My scene's very short in it, but I have a lot of friends in that movie, so support them and me. I'm in it. Why do I got to be self-deprecating? Why do I got to? All right, yo. So, the Grand Metalik of Brock Lesnar, okay? So they're like, Brock Lesnar showing up, and they're like, whoever he attacks is going to be his Saudi Arabia opponent. That
Wait,
was the
I
bot.
Did not see any of that.
Yeah, they didn't say that in the leak, but the leak was like, why else would he be showing up like 3 weeks before Saudi show, you know? And so they're like, oh, whoever he attacks is going to be who he's wrestling. The rumors were Bobby Lashley. That's what the rumors were, you know?
Right.
But we didn't know that till we saw it. We saw it. Lashley, Lesnar, great. I have a real fucking, I'm hoping, I haven't read anything about this, but I was like, I'm fucking hoping to add Goldberg to this match. Bro. Because the Lashley-Goldberg match in Saudi last time was dope. And, like, a match that's in Saudi Arabia, which is, like, whatever. No title. Lashley, Lesnar, Goldberg. That'd be, come on, man. That's sick.
If you say the G word one more time, he's going to appear. So just
Goldberg. Friend...
Shit. Bonham. I just did the Roman Reigns entrance.
That match, come on. Dude, I would... Do you agree that adding Goldberg to that match is only additive?
No, because I actually want to see.
We've Lesnar seen Lashley Goldberg go, right?
I know.
But Lashley Lesnar.
Yeah, I just feel like it's going to be pretty epic this time around. Because I think.
Okay,
Lashley's
what if they add Jinder, WB champion Jinder Mahal?
I'm in. Anything Jinder.
Do we see
good.
Bray in Saudi? 100%, right?
Ooh,
who is Bray gonna wrestle, bro? What do you think? I have a fucking Austin theory.
Okay, so he's going to smack.
He's gonna Hannibal Lecter theory. He's gonna get in Austin Theory's head to sign away his fucking briefcase to him. You know?
Wow.
Wouldn't that be sick?
Yeah.
He's like mental games, you know?
Yeah.
But also the other cool thing is that he's saying, oh, like, revel in who you are. The other thing about Bray is that, like, maybe we don't really need him to wrestle that much. You know? Like,
yeah.
Maybe he just makes a stable or, like, he is behind certain guys, right? Like, or his thing is, like, making Braun good again, right? Or, like, something like that. Like, you know, like, something that Bray is bigger than wrestling, you know, at this point. Because
yeah,
all of you shitbags, not me included, you all, when Bray wrestles, you don't like his matches. You know, like you don't like House of Horrors match. I adore a House of Horror match.
Yeah.
Right? I like all the cinematic stuff. I like that he projects things onto the ring. That's fucking fun.
I think John Cena said that match that he had, whatever, in the Fun House was like his one of the best things
that was
he's
Randy.
Ever worked on. No. John Cena.
They did
John
a
Cena
house
did
one?
The match. John Cena did one too. Like the like house a Fun House like match and he No, Fun House, the Fun House.
Firefly Fun House match. Oh, yeah. The one from Mania, the pandemic one. Oh yeah, that was like masterful. That was fucking
That's
amazing.
What I'm But Cena
I love
said that was his like favorite thing that he's worked on in WWE.
Well, if Cena said it, then it's true. He's John Cena. He set the record for make-a-wishes.
Yeah. What would you want to do with John Cena if he if you
make
had
love.
A make-a-wish?
Oh, what? What was the question? Sorry about that.
I hear Nicole Byer does some wrestling moves in Cursed Friends.
Oh my god! So I didn't watch it. I didn't see it yet. The movie that I'm in.
I think Susan.
Because I was watching. By the way, for you, Mark, I was watching Extreme Rules. Okay.
Yeah.
her character in the script is trying to be a wrestler, so yeah, she's like becoming a wrestler in it. So she definitely does some moves, and I believe when I read the script, she does a stunner. It's in the script. When I read the script, she does a stunner.
Yeah, you didn't teach her?
No, I didn't teach her. But in the script, she does a stunner. I wonder if she did one IRL.
Suzable saw it, and she asked. She wondered if you were the one who actually taught her how to do
no.
it since you were on set.
I didn't. Because me and Nicole didn't film together. But I only filmed one day because I had one scene. But then Nicole was showing up when I was leaving, and then I hung out with Nicole in the trailer
Give
for
her
a
stunner.
While. And I was like, "Yo, you're giving a stunner," and then she kind of had no idea what I was talking about because I don't think I don't think she got to that point in the script, you know. So, and then I don't know. I just read the script. I didn't see the actual movie yet. So I don't know if she actually does a stun. Like if it stayed a stunner.
Well, that's what Suzable said.
Oh, so Suzable said that she did a stunner.
Yeah.
We love Nicole Byer, folks.
We love her, folks.
I'll do another announcement for the marks out here, but we're going to start doing a lot of the Last Improv shows. We'll start streaming. So you can buy streaming tickets to Last Improv Show. So the venue I perform at started offering streaming, and I think it's like the tickets are like, it's like $15 or something. I don't control the cost of it or whatever. But you can watch the show streaming. So that'll be fucking awesome. It won't be for our next two shows, but probably the one after that. So
nice.
I don't have a show announced yet, but if you guys want to support my improv and watch the show, you could do that. Also, that's cool. If you're at home, it's like you buy one ticket for the whole fan, you know?
Yeah. For everybody.
Yeah. Really cool. That's at the venue Dynasty Typewriter that we perform at. They have streaming capabilities. So really pretty excited about that. And I know I hopped around so much on this episode, but we got to talk about Ronda Rousey for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because she needs – I think Ronda Rousey could be really great at wrestling. Like, I think she could be really great at this business – if, like, if she was booked properly and coached properly, you know? Like, I watch so many people get, like, better at improv. Like, they get good at it, you know? And, like, her in-ring is done. It's good. Good enough. You know? Her in-ring's great. You know? Is she perfect always? No. Because now she's wrestling more like a pro wrestler. She's not just fully scripted matches, you know, where she's practicing all the moves, you know, so she's not like whatever, but her wrestling's good enough and will only get better because she seems to be around. And that's the one thing I want to say. People criticize Ronda Rousey, but I just want to be like, Ronda Rousey's fucking here to stay, you know, and that's what's cool about her.
I got the perfect place for her. You ready?
But, yeah.
And put her in the blood. Put her in the bloodline. Have Paul Heyman have her be the muscle, like the China of the bloodline, right? She's the champ. She's got the title. Have her roll with them. She doesn't have to say a single word. Heyman comes out with her. You have Sammy roll with her. You have the Usos. You have Solo. She would be perfect in there. She would fit in perfectly. It would be sick. Call Rob Fee.
If you say so. I mean, I feel
you
like
you don't think so.
Well, the problem my beef with that booking is, I feel like a woman. Let's go, girls.
Going out tonight. I'm feeling it all right. Yeah. I'm gonna let it all hang out.
The best part about being a woman. Anyway.
Prerogative, have a little fun, yeah.
You know all the words
because
you
text. Totally crazy. Me and my ladies, men's shirts, short skirts.
Shania Twain?
Yeah.
That's a great Kevin Owens, huge Shania mark.
Yeah. Elias coming back.
Elias coming back. He's got the beard back. I think Elias is in trouble.
All right. So, what were we saying about Ronda?
My problem with her is like I like that Sami Zayn's like the only non Samoan in there. You know?
Right.
That kind of is like the joke of it, right?
Yeah.
And then you have like Heyman who's like, you know, the businessman or whatever, you know. So you start Ronda. My thing with Ronda is people I've been around are like, she sucks. They're like, she stinks. They're not fans. I respect Ronda so much still for her like accolades outside of the ring.
Yeah.
Like, you know, being in MMA. I like a lot of her comments about pro wrestling where she was talking about how wrestling fans are better than MMA fans. They have so much more respect for the legends, you know? Like, I like a lot of things she says. She just doesn't – I like her look. She's a badass and fucking babe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fucking star, Ronda Rousey. She's not putting it all together. You know what I mean?
Well, she's only been there in WWE for 3 years, you know?
Right?
Like, and even at that, or 4 years, but she missed a whole like a year and a half.
Yeah, she was pregnant,
maybe more. So she really hasn't been doing it this long. So I refuse to cut her any slack. Now I'm starting to be like, all right, well, I think she's starting to find her groove. I think she's being booked properly now. She's definitely a threat in the women's division, and she's champ. So, I mean, like, she's a manager away from being, like, on top of the world, you know? Literally, that's it.
Part about being a manager. No, so the thing, look, yeah, I just think she hasn't put the whole package together. But like, I was really thinking about it when I was watching her match with Liv. I was like, okay, one problem with Ronda is her husband isn't cool. Now I know people are like, yo, you're defining a woman by the husband. You know what I mean? But yeah. Like, when. Anytime I see anything with him, I'm like, this guy, I hate this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Travis.
What is it about him? He's just not cool. Like, not that, you know what I mean?
He's like a farmer, you know?
Yeah. Like, I wish he had a cooler husband, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. is that stupid?
It'd be dope, like, if her husband was George St. Pierre, right?
That would be cooler. Yeah. Or just someone who's like... I don't know. He just seems like such a douche, that guy, you know? Anyway, no, I haven't talked to him at all. I'm sure I'll take it back. I'm sure I'll meet him and it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
But the other thing around is, like, she... She's so fucking awesome. She's so, like, inspirational. Like, she literally, like, has her kid in the back... She's, like, taking care of her kid, like, a second before she goes through that, like, curtain, you know? And they, like, cannot get, like, her how impressive she is, like, how strong she is, and they can't get that to translate, because like when she comes out, it's like she's doing like some sort of like watered down version of like her old MMA career, which is just long over. She's a wrestler now, you know?
Yep.
So
that's exactly what it is,
right? It's like they're doing like she's the baddest. What?
She peaked a very long time ago as the baddest woman on the planet. You know, she used to be the baddest woman on the planet. She ain't the baddest woman on the planet anymore, but she's going by that. So in order for her to go by that, I think she needs to like have a different style or something. If you're gonna say you're the baddest woman on the planet, you need to start showing that, and that's not gonna happen through like roll up submissions and shit like that. Start knocking people out. Start like being the baddest. Like,
well, like she has the same gimmick as essentially as like Shayna Baszler, really. Like,
yeah,
almost, and it makes sense because they're both MMA people. But Ronda Rousey is so much more impressive than just an old MMA star at this point. You know, she's like a mega athlete, which is more impressive than like a mega fighter to me. And
fair enough.
I kind of feel like with her, she should be coached to be more of like a Cena type, where she's like comes out and is like giving things to like kids and talking about what it is to be like a mom, even. I know, fuck, man. I know I'm sure some of you are going to cringe because I'm saying, like, we should define our husband, this and that. But, like, there's something about it where she's literally Superwoman, you know?
Yeah.
And you juxtapose her against, like, someone like Charlotte, who's, like, a legacy and kind of, like, a little bit of, like, a badass, like, you know, more. Like, in wrestling. Okay, here's how I'll put it. I'm figuring this out as I say it, but like in wrestling, Charlotte is more of what Ronda is than Ronda. Like Charlotte is the better fighter in wrestling because it's because kayfabe, shoot in our brain. Charlotte is the best wrestler. She can do the most impressive shit, you know? So she's the Ronda Rousey. So when they start being like Ronda Rousey is the Charlotte, you're like, not into it. But what's amazing about Ronda is like the way she talks about like her mom and her mom's influence on her, and like how her view of like being like, remember her whole thing about being like a do nothing bitch or whatever, like all that shit. Like she's kind of like has a crazy work ethic, is like a very like morally, ethically correct person, is like very loyal. She's a little bit of like an all American stud. You know? Yeah. And I feel like that's like the way to go with her, which is like, this is Ronda Rousey, not the most baddest woman on the planet. This is like the most impressive woman on the planet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something like that. It's time for her next evolution because she's not going anywhere. You know?
I agree.
And so she's coming out like a fucking nostalgia act. And she doesn't interesting need to be because that.
If you look at Brock, right? So obviously you kind of want Ronda to be the Brock, in my opinion, for the women's division.
Yeah.
So you see Brock, and Brock comes out now. You know, I mean, we're in this now. He's got the denim vest on and the denim pants. Like we're getting like metal Brock. You know, like I mean, which is like insane.
It's but so authentic.
The cowboy Brock stuff. Yeah, and it's like he comes out and it's like a pit bull off its leash, right? You don't know who's it going to go after? What's it going to do?
Right.
But with Ronda, it's like not that at all. You know, it's just like
just
she's going to the ring to wrestle.
She's Ronda like clearly like a very nice person, you know?
Yeah. I don't know about all that, but
I bet she's very nice to me.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that she's got to be presented in a way where when she's around, everybody's like on edge, you know?
Right.
But she's not doing that right now.
So. I'm disagreeing with that. I'm saying that the way I see Ronda Rousey is like everyone, she should come out and be like a mega baby.
Okay.
And like I would change the song.
Right, you were saying that.
I wouldn't come out to like, you know, Bad Reputation. That's like that's her
MMA.
That's
gotta go. That's one thing that's gotta change.
Like her whole thing with the angry face on and all that. And you know what else I would get out of the Rowdy Piper shit? I would get rid of that also. You know, I think it's like that's another person's thing. And that's also part of her MMA career where it was like in sports, it's cool to replicate professional wrestling, right? Like in it's cool to like be Ric Flair when you're an NFL player.
Right.
So it's cool to be like, oh, I'm Rowdy Piper when you're Rowdy Ronda Rousey. But then you come into wrestling and then now you're just like dressed like The Undertaker. Like, you know what I mean? You know, so like what's cool about Ronda is she has this farm. Like, you know, she has like a daughter now that she's raising, you know,
what's cool about Ronda is that she has this arm.
I'm dead serious. Well, all right. Cool's the wrong word. What it is that what's authentic about her is that she is kind of an all-American badass man. And I find her so impressive. She's a judo champion. Like, she is an inspiration to little kids. Not just little girls. And I would lean that way. She's like fucking Hogan, you know?
I would also like to say that I'm pretty sure she used the eat my ass as the finisher.
She definitely tapped out Liv with the eat my ass.
That's 100%. That was the eat my ass.
That was definitely an eat my ass.
Right?
Yeah.
And Liv was smiling. She liked it. So, you know, I mean, this is
I've never tapped to an eat my ass.
You have never.
I passed out to an eat my ass. I passed out to an eat my ass, but I never tapped.
That's right. I mean, and respect, man. Respect.
It moves just too viral. I pass out. I could never tap.
Yeah.
You know?
You get so emotionally stimulated that, you know, you can't take it anymore.
But Extreme Rules, what else do we... Oh, so we didn't talk about Finn and the Bullet Club shit.
So this is crazy because Anderson is the never open weight champion. So he's operating like as their champion, not under contract.
Right, he's in New Japan, right?
Yeah, like I don't think they have a contract with New Japan, but he wrestles on their brand, and he's the never open weight champion right now, currently. So it's like, wow. And then the best part is like Jay White's like shouting them out, saying how like it was part of his plan. Like he said Bullet Club's going to be all over the place, and he did it at AEW, and now Gallows and Anderson are showing up. On WWE, like Jay White's talking about it. Let me tell you something right now. If that man comes to WWE, it is fucking game over.
He's very good. I think
if Jay White makes it to fucking WWE,
he'll be a very good addition to the WWE roster. No question.
Can you imagine?
He was a member of he was part of the Forbidden Door. We've talked nothing about AEW. Should we jump to AEW for a second?
What's there to talk about?
CM Punk reportedly not coming back at all. Are you seeing this? Every single report is saying that CM Punk's not coming back.
And I'm hearing that like the reason why the Bucks and Kenny haven't come back because there's like some kind of pressing legal matter that it hasn't cleared yet, and they can't come back on TV until after it. I said, just let those fucking guys go to Tokyo and with FTR and wrestle for tag titles in the Tokyo Dome. Like, if Tony's not going to use them, and he's clearly in a new direction of how he's booking his cars and stuff. I mean, Tokyo Dome's like 3 months away. Like, let's go. Just give it to us. Give me the Bucks. Imagine the Bucks versus FTR in the Tokyo Dome in like a 60-minute match. Like
it will be in January.
It's just crazy. This is not all Elite Wrestling, okay? And I can't believe I'm saying this, but without Kenny and the Bucks, especially without Cody, but now without Kenny and the Bucks, this isn't the product that I wasn't in on, then fell in love with, and now I'm completely out of again. Like it was on tonight. It wasn't even a priority. It wasn't even close to gaining interest from me. It's Danielson versus Jericho 3 for the during the main event for the ROH title. It's like, you know, Tony Storm and Sheeta versus Britt and Hayter. Seen that. Jack Perry versus Luchasaurus. We've seen that. You know, like, so it's like, it's very rinse and repeat, and he's got to be careful, man, because he's not, the matches are good, but it's not captivating enough to keep the entertainment of the crowds. When you have a guy like Bray Wyatt coming in and doing something crazy like that, and people start to drift towards that, then they start to fall in love with the brand more. But he's not giving any of that to his fans. Like, it's just really just how the wrestlers choose to get over in AEW that works for them, but less about storyline and more about moments for them, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
an interesting time.
I think right now it all, like, look, let's not be overly dramatic here. Like,
not being.
I don't think you are, but I'm saying I'm not going to be. Like, I'm just going to say the shit ebbs and flows. It's very clear that AEW is in a slump right now. They had that coming off of All Out, it could not have went worse for them. It was like an actual.
That's it.
It was an
less about being in like a slump, like because of bad booking stuff happened, but like a slump.
CM Punk came in and like destroyed Kenny's comeback and MJF's comeback immediately. Made Mox the champion again, so Mox is in this like weird championship that no one cares about. Uh-huh. And then on top of it, they just kept going down this path of infinite titles, and they've made some stuff they've done has been their mistakes. Like all this ROH blend has been just a crazy mistake, you know?
Yeah.
Just like that's a, you know, we talk about mental errors versus physical errors, you know, the Coach Lisak stuff, like physical error meaning something like you don't beat yourself up over, like that just happened, and you know that could happen to anybody. That's a ball takes a bad hop, so it goes through your legs, right? You know, or hits you in the face. You were completely in the right position. You played the game correctly. You got bad luck. That's what happened with the CM Punk situation, right? Like, you could argue that getting behind CM Punk was a mistake to begin with, but like we would all make that mistake. CM Punk's a big star, and you had this cool plan with MJF coming back, and then you had Kenny coming back. You didn't know that he was gonna on the media scrum do that. No one would expect that. That's not your fault.
Right.
That's CM Punk's fault. Then you have to handle that, right? But the mental errors are when you played wrong. You were in the wrong spot. You're supposed to be, you know, shift is up. I'm going to try to deal with sports, but it's like, you know, you got a, here, I'll handle this. You got a righty batter. You're in right field and you didn't shift towards left field. Okay.
Sure.
And then it went to the hole. Is that right? Yeah. Because if you want to assume that they're going
to
pull it.
Went to the gap.
You want to assume they're going to pull it, right? Now, you might be wrong because then they swing late and then it goes into right field and you're positioned a little left of center, right? Whatever. Yeah. Got it. But that's a mental error because you were not playing the game correctly. There's strategy for a reason. That is Tony Khan booking a trios title for Kenny Omega, right? And then on top of when you already have – you have the biggest star, one of the biggest stars in pro wrestling, and you're going to lump him into a trios title, right? Mm-hmm. And when you already have too many titles, that's thinking that ROH can survive within the context of your already bloated roster, and then you're going to have, within those 2 hours, 3 hours total, you're going to give them opening segments of the show, another title, when you already have too many titles. You know, those are mental errors. That's mistakes. That's right. So. You know, it's like, you know, Tony Khan got dealt a bad hand on top of getting unlucky. And that's where you get into this hole. Now, AEW.
And also, not just dealt a bad hand and got unlucky, but like played some bad hands too. You know, like he, whether it's bluffing or whatever he did. But like he also
whatever
dropped,
metaphor we're looking for here, which is like
he also dropped the ball too.
He got a bad hand, and then he decided to go all in.
Yeah.
And then it made a lot of his fans all out, folks.
They all folded. Got it.
But and they walked through the forbidden door back to WWE. So,
fan out.
Matt Riddle, Seth Rollins. That match was not very good, right?
Yeah, it was weird.
It wasn't captivating the people with us, you know. I think the I Quit match should have been the main.
Felt like it, right?
Yeah. The I Quit match was dope. The ending was really good. The ending of that match was really good.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, they're doing a great thing, but you're thinking Dom. So here's what I want to argue with you about Dom Mysterio for a second.
Go, bring it.
What they're doing that's incredible with Dominic Mysterio is what they realize is that the only value Dominic Mysterio has, which is, it's not the thing, it's what it represents. It's right. We talk about that in improv. It's like more about, so it's like no one knows what the fucking Tesseract does or whatever, right? It's a MacGuffin, like. You know, but you're like, it's important, you know?
Yeah.
So they're like, what Dominic Mysterio, what he represents is the legacy of Rey Mysterio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And corrupting him is very interesting. And mm-hmm. So what they're doing is all these great, all these other performers playing around his importance as opposed to us seeing him go. You know what I mean? Like, okay. It's less about him wrestling. It's less about him, like being the heir of trying to be the new Rey Mysterio. And it's more about the fact that, like, he is Rey Mysterio's son. And they're playing into that. That's what's smart about it, so it makes it better. They also just made his look, like, 20 times better overnight, you know?
But yeah, he's got the red bottoms on.
His other look was just so bad.
Yeah.
He was wearing the pajamas my nephews wear to go to sleep to wrestle.
That's cool. I mean, he was still one of my guys.
That's fine.
I credit where credit's due. I mean, like, I think the fans are really buying into the story between him and Rey too. They're drawing it out perfectly. I thought this was a great step in the right direction for that storyline. In terms of just really tugging at the emotions of the crowd. I mean, Rey Mysterio, kudos to this dude.
Rey Mysterio.
Like, you know, he's doing a great job with this too. He's making it feel, it feels authentic. He's making it feel like Dom has been corrupted and he has lost control and he can't get him back. And I was like watching those moments and I was like, damn, I was like, this is pretty fucking good. You know, like, this is legit. Yeah. And then they go right into a promo after that, which is so sick. And damn, Finn's all over the place, running around like crazy. Dominic, as soon as he puts the mic up to his mouth, getting booed out of the building. Finn's yelling at everybody to shut up. Like, it's just really well done. I've done a complete 180 on Judgment Day. I'm all in on Judgment Day right now. I think they're a perfect stable. And
Judgment Day is a good time. They're fun. I mean, I'm not like it's not like my favorite thing in the world, but Finn's mask was dope. This is Finn's probably best version. I've always thought that the demon was a little cheese. It was a cool idea, but whatever. We can argue about that forever. Mm-hmm. I like what are those specters from Harry Potter? It's kind of like they look like that. I like the guys on the head, like the horseman Scepter? Guys from Lord of the Ring. You know?
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like those guys, that image is cool, and then I liked all the lightning. All that shit is very cool. Like all the
Dementors.
Yeah, all the graphics and stuff are pretty fucking cool. It works. It just, you know, whatever. You know what I'll always say about Finn. This is the best Finn is. I don't. I'm not gonna criticize Finn.
That moment with AJ is so fucking cool, dude. It's just
that was very fun.
Oh man, you can tell it's just cool, dude. You see it across the board. You see it with all these wrestlers. They're feeling like they are who they thought they were. You know, like they're feeling like who
they're thinking they were that their TV time matters, in. You know?
Yeah. That's it. I think that's the most important thing. When you get an opportunity to be on TV, you better bring it. And that's like Bobby Lashley. Mustafa Ali, like everybody's coming on. I mean, even look at the Miz and Dexter Lumis, like getting Dexter Lumis over, like this is, and they haven't even wrestled and now they're finally going to wrestle. It's like they're in just a very good zone. I said, Judgment Day has four storylines going on right now. They have Edge, they have Beth Phoenix, they have AJ Styles, and they have Rey Mysterio. That's pretty fucking cool. And I'm hoping we get some kind of match like that at Survivor Series, you know?
I think so. I think Survivor Series is going to be... This is very cool, Survivor Series coming up. Very cool. Well, two War Games matches. We don't know if we're getting Survivor Series matches or those will just take the place. I'm not sure, right?
I think we're getting, like, it's not going to really be brand versus brand as much, or the focus won't be brand versus brand.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I might just have one Survivor Series match just for the, like, legacy of it. But anyway, look, bottom line is this, you know? Just to end this pod. And then,
we're going
to have a bonus episode. It should come out probably... Well, I don't know what day. Are we going to record it tomorrow?
Friday? Yeah, we'll try.
It'll come out Friday tomorrow on the Patreon. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. House of the American Dragon episode.
That's right.
We're going to talk about AEW, talk about that American Dragon, but then also talk about House of the Dragon, which we've been doing, which, by the way, is just if you are not watching House of the Dragon, you're missing out. What an incredible show. It's fucking a blast.
I mean,
a blast, man, is the wrong thing, but it's very good. Over exceeded my expectations.
He can keep his tongue.
Yeah, great. Great.
I mean, just
great characters, great show. Not as good as So Help Me Todd on CBS.
Oh, can't wait to catch up. It's actually, the first episode was a lot of fun. Highly recommend it. And
great pilot.
Cursed Friends, also check it out. I watched like the first 15 minutes before I fell asleep.
I'm waiting for So Help Me Todd to cast me as Skylar's friend. Which is how me and Skylar met. I mean, me and Skylar, I get cast as Skylar's friend.
Todd's sketchy friend. Todd's sketchy friend.
Oh, yeah, I'll take it.
Or you could be the tech guy. Like, his tech isn't working because he's always talking into his watch, you know? Maybe you're the tech guy that fixes his watch and then, like,
helps him out. Or I could be the fucking janitor at the law firm.
You could be the guy. Oh, you could be the guy.
That, like, Skylar gives me tasks to do. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You be the guy and become the guy in the chair. You have an origin story. Like, oh, you just start off by getting him his coffee and his loose leaf paper pads and all this fun stuff. And then all of a sudden, like, you start helping him fix his technology. You upgrade his technology. Next thing you know, he's got a suit.
But then I start dating Marcia Gay Harden.
Yeah. Well, she's single now.
And then I become Skylar's stepdad on the show.
Incredible. And then they renamed the show So Help Me Stepdad.
Yes, and it kind of takes a weird turn, you know.
Step by step.
Yeah, it's more, ooh, I'm baby. Skylar's dad, but also his janitor at his job.
Have you added the step by
bro, that'd be so funny. So I'm the janitor at the law firm, but then I have a high status, low status relationship where I fall in love with the older woman in power, you know, but it's appropriate.
Yeah,
it's appropriate. It's completely consensual. And yeah, that's it. All right. Anyway, I'm Skylar's dad on the show, but also I clean up his office. I think that would put that's very, you know, parasite-y, like, you know, there's a lot of comments on status there, you know what I mean? Anyway,
I'm trying to listen to the step by step theme song for
step by step.
No, but that's the New Kids on the Block.
That's the New Kids on the Block, NKOTB.
Right,
let's get out of here, bro.
Hold on, let me get the chorus. All right, it's not going to go far enough. All right, yeah.
Here's all I'm saying. The whole point I was saying is that we're going to have a bonus episode. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Support the podcast. We rocked it today. We deserve some support. But too low.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot of texts about about WWE pay-per-views. You know, like Extreme Rules, I got so many texts people were watching. Like, you know, Bray coming back, the fervor. It's very fun, man. Because, like, the one thing about this is, like, as much as I love – it's crazy. You can go back on this podcast and hear us say, like, we don't even need to like, you know, this was when Vince was there and the WWE product was so bad, you know. And, you know, you can hear us say, like, we don't even need we don't need WWE anymore. That's what we used to talk, you know. And I understand why we're that way. And, by the way, that's fun. It's fun. It all ebbs and flows. It's a great time. But wrestling
is what we're here to do.
Wrestling is at its finest when WWE is thriving because that's a blast for all of us to have great manias, you know, great Royal Rumbles, you know, like you can't compete with fucking WWE's like production value and stuff. So as much as I'll always want AEW to matter, and it still does, it's not like if AEW had a pay-per-view this weekend, my friends would still be watching it. We love wrestling, you know? But when WWE matters, it's just the best, you know? And that's what
fact of the matter
around.
Is. And that's it. It does. And it's fun. And I want to tune in. I'm excited for Friday. I'm going to watch Dynamite. I haven't really been watching Rampage because it really hasn't been.
I'm going to try to watch SmackDown Live because I want to watch Bray.
Yeah, me too. SmackDown Live.
Smack it down. Patreon.com/MeansWrestling. Let's get out of here. Tulo, I will see you on the bonus episode on Friday. And everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Bye.
Now Ronda has the eat my ass. You don't say eat my ass at the end of the episode now.
That's all right, it. Buddy. It's done. Keep watching wrestling. It's tarnished kisses. For life.
All right, gears up.
All right, eat my ass.